The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Okay, it's Tuesday, so we've got Josh in, and we've got Prickles in as well. Ali wasn't going to be here today because she was off doing other things, but she sort of muscled her way in.
I did,
Josh, and you haven't really had a lot to say because obviously because she's chipping in with.
It's okay,
you know.
That's okay,
and I don't think we're going to get too much of a say in this bit either. Now it's a difficult subject to tackle.
It is,
because the amount of people that I've spoken to, they're either one way or the other, and they don't see the bit in between. And people are very opinionated on it, and in some cases, because people have got an opinion and they don't share the other person's opinion, it starts to get a little bit aggressive. And, you know, I find that in itself a little bit offensive. It's you know, we should be able to say, within reason, what we mean without being shouted down. Just because someone else shares a different opinion, it doesn't mean that they are completely wrong or even branded as idiots, like Kevin Barclay J has branded someone today, an idiot. But we're talking about, before we go any further, I think the reason, what I've just said, the reasons why there is this conflict of interest, misunderstandings, is purely and simply because I don't feel that the media have done their job properly by educating the people with the facts and the truths. They put their own little spin on it to get a bigger story. So we thought, before we go any further, we want to find out what's the difference, because they use these terms. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago, David Cameron used the term swarm. And he was picked up on it, and quite rightly so. So we just want to get this absolutely right. Tell us what the difference is between a migrant, an immigrant, and a refugee.
So a migrant, this is Google's definition of what a migrant is a person who moves from one place to another in order to find work or better living conditions.
Okay.
An immigrant is a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country.
Right.
And a refugee is a person who has been forced to leave their country in order to escape war, persecution, or natural disaster.
Okay. Have you been... just answer me honestly. You don't have to tell me what I want to hear, because I'm not that kind of person. Do you feel as though... And this goes to you as well, Ali. Do you feel as though you've been misled over the last couple of months with the terms migrant, immigrant, and refugee?
I think they've been thrown about a lot.
Do you feel that, you know, they've used the term in the correct context whilst they've been reporting on what we've seen on our television and heard on our radio and seen it read in the papers over the last couple of, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months?
Maybe they have used it in right circumstances in some cases, and maybe they haven't in others.
Okay, what about you, Ali?
I already knew what they were, the different
Good.
Meanings.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm allowed to say what I think, actually.
See, that's the other thing that worries me at the moment, is because you've got an opinion and you want to share it, as long as it's not offensive, you feel reluctant to share it because you may be shouted down by others.
I've been a bit like that.
I think that our media outlets, and I'm including newspapers, TV, have promoted what they want us to see.
Right, yeah. Okay.
That's what I think. And now, I also think if you watch different news stations from different countries, they show you totally different news.
Yeah.
Totally different pictures of what we're seeing.
Mm.
Totally different perspective of what we're expected to believe. All those people walking to the border from Hungary the other day. Now, watching that was quite harrowing. But if you watch it, 90% of those people are young men. Where are all the women and children?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. And I'm not even going to assume. I don't know.
No, I don't know. But that's... To think that people would walk 300, 400, 500 miles, however far the border to Austria was that they were trying to get to, what has actually made those people... decide to move in that many numbers that they'd be willing to walk. You know,
it baffles me that, you know, because I mean, I look at it, I'm just an ordinary bloke. I'm seeing something that I don't think I've ever seen in my lifetime before. There are numerous people from a couple of countries that are travelling through Europe, and it's not, I mean, you know, up until very recently, it used to be just people stuck at France trying to get into Britain, but it's not, it's all over Europe. So this is a problem that is not going to go away, and it's a huge, huge problem. And I don't think the powers that be quite understand just how big the problem is or what to do. The first thing that I, you know, my little mind tells me, and I say, I'm only going on what I've seen, what I've read, and what I've heard, and what's in my heart, is that, you know, you know the difference between a migrant, an immigrant, and a refugee. With that said, I don't think that our Prime Minister or any other Prime Minister can put a number on how many people they can take. You know, bearing in mind it's a refugee situation, I'd say you can't put a limitation on that. You really can't. You can put a limitation on the migrant and immigrant, but you can't do this to a refugee. If there's 30,000 people that need housing or 30,000 people that need somewhere to stay, then 30,000 people need to be helped.
They do.
And it's as simple as that. We can't just say, well, we'll take 20. And were we slightly misled, and maybe when we got home last night, when the figures were banded about, we're going to take 20,000 refugees, were you then shocked to say, well, we'll take 4,000 this year, 4,000 next year, and so on up to 2020? Because I was.
I'm not shocked, because I think for the last 4 or 5 years, we should have intervened in that country. We should have stopped that from happening. Not just Britain, but different countries, because they've been quick enough throughout the world to intervene when it hasn't been needed. But by the same token, perhaps Syria hasn't got any gas or oil or anything like that that we
cynical,
need.
Cynical, well, but there'll be people out there. It's true. People out there that are thinking it, absolutely.
You know, and I just think those refugees should be helped unconditionally. Absolutely unconditionally, because that could be any country in the world.
It could be. And I mean, let's point out that, you know, was it this time last year or 18 months ago, there was an Ebola crisis, and there were an awful lot of people that put themselves out to go over and help from different countries. And there's no oil in that country. So, I mean, you know, let's even it up a little bit. But, I mean, you make a valid point. I mean, we were talking to an ex-serviceman a while ago, and he said if that is the case, then he still can't work out why we actually went into Afghanistan, because there's no oil there either.
Or Iraq. Twice.
Well, there was, there is oil in Iraq, isn't there?
And that's the only reason we went, Ian.
Was it though? Let's not get off the beaten track, because that is, you know, for me, that's a different topic altogether. I mean, it is a topic and a half, that one, because it's again what you believe. I mean, Tony Blair says you know, he did what we had to do, and lots of people have crucified him since, if you'll pardon the expression. He's you know, we had to go to war there, but we went to two illegal wars apparently. And he should answer for his crimes, even if someone in his own party is suggesting that. And I'm with them. I think, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But I say, we only know what we read and what we see. I mean, last week, let's be honest, let's go back. Is it a week or so ago that this young lad,
little boy,
that you know, the picture rocked the whole world. There's no question it did. David Cameron's attitude has changed considerably since then, and so have other people's. So again, I mean, that's an awful thing to see. That's an awful thing to live with.
But you know, why did it take a picture of that child to stir people up to do something in the first place? Did they not know how bad it was? This has been going on.
The media probably just wanted a reaction from us.
Yeah, but this has been going on for months and months and months, that people have been drowning while paying traffickers, coming across in boats, you know, in Syria. We've been seeing it on our TV screens for 3 years. Why did it take the death of that little boy?
But this is something that is in your face every single hour of the day, it seems, and it has been for the last couple of months. Okay, you know, things that people are changing their mindsets a little bit. I think definitely that what happened last week was a mindset changer. But, you know, this thing, it's been going on. I don't think people know what to do. I look at David Cameron and I think, you're probably, you know, you're probably an okay kind of guy. You're probably controlled with what you can do and what you can't do. You know, so I don't think he's got the amount of power that we think he has. But, you know, he just looks like a person that doesn't really know what he's doing. And neither do anyone else. How are you going to solve this issue? I mean, it is a knock-on effect. And I'll tell you, the reason why it's a knock-on effect is it will affect things. And it will affect things back home. And that's to the point where people will start saying things like you're too scared to say, supposedly, and others too, because they'll be asking the question, hang on a minute, because I saw it on Facebook the other day, and they make a valid point. Hey, look, £5 billion to help out people. Hang on a minute. Our councils are struggling to look after the sick and the needy locally, and you find £5 billion. The issue isn't the fact that you're going to spend the money on migrants, refugees, or whatever.
That's not the issue.
The issue is, well, where did that come from? We don't mind you helping them, but what about us? Mm. What about the people on the street that are needy?
And with the best will in the world, we should look after our own.
Yeah.
And we don't.
I totally agree.
But then that kind of makes us sound a little bit selfish, because I'm of the belief that we should be helping everybody. Every single refugee that is leaving a war-torn country, we should be helping. You cannot put a number on it, although Germany's number is considerably higher than ours. And France is, you know, they've got a big old country, and they're only going to help 24,000. But I say again, you can't put a figure on this.
No, you can't, because every single one of those refugees deserves to be helped.
If it was the other way around, you know, would, you know, because I've heard people say this as well, if it was the other way around, nobody would help us.
And I think they're quite, that's quite a true statement.
I don't know, but it's a hypothetical one, isn't it?
Well, kind of, yeah, because if you go back to the floods, where was the help for us?
Where was the help from our government?
Mm, for us.
Let's be honest, it took them 6 weeks to actually realise that there was a problem, and they only did, and you made this point earlier, I'm not going to steal your thunder, you tell them.
Because it started flooding in London.
Yeah, where Dave's house was.
They didn't give a darn about Plymouth and the West Country and Somerset and the Isle of Wight and everywhere else that was flooded.
Mm.
And yet there was money aplenty to go around London once it started hitting.
Okay. I mean, it is a... I wish it's something that we're not talk. We should, we don't have to talk about, but it is. It's a very real problem. And the length of time that this has been going on, it tells you that it ain't going to go away, and it's an issue that needs sorting out. Somebody put on my mess on my Facebook page the other day, maybe we ought to go in their country and sort them out. Is that the answer, do you think?
I don't honestly
yes and
know.
No.
I don't honestly know.
Why yes?
To give them a helping hand. Not necessarily control the country, but maybe give suggestions of what they could do better.
Okay.
And then no, just leave them to it.
All right. Gain has put this on her Facebook page last week, and I was fascinated and interested by it, which made me you know, think to myself, okay, do we know what the difference is between, you know, the immigrant, the migrant and the refugee? There must be a way of separating genuine Syrian refugees from economic migrants from elsewhere. See, I think the answer is in your first line. If they're Syrian, there's a good chance that they're a proper refugee.
Yeah.
So often the media merges the two. There is no comparison. Refugees are fleeing for their lives. We should, as a nation, help them. There, by the grace of God, it could keep us running from invasion and war. Where would we go? How would we feel trying to save our children and losing them? I mean, you know, it's a valid point.
It's heart-rending, isn't it? You know, just different people's... David Cameron is actually only going to take refugees from Syria. He's going to take them from the refugee camps. So hopefully the people that we are going to help will be, like she's just said, genuine refugees.
Yeah, but there are other countries that are war-torn as well, not just Syria.
No.
So what are we saying? We're only taking Syrians this month.
Well, that's the plan at the moment.
We should take all refugees. It's as simple as that. You know, we owe it to ourselves. You know, if we want to sleep at night, you know, that's the sort of behaviour we've got to to put out there. It's as simple as that. Ron says, we stayed at home. My school got bombed, but we just got on with it. Our dads were in the army fighting to keep us safe. James says, so are there dads, but somewhere in the world they get called terrorists. 200 years ago, Britain was quick to colonise and declare far reaches of the world as part of its empire. In the past few decades, the civilised West has propagated unrest to destabilise Eastern nations so that they would be easier to subdue and take advantage of their natural resources. We all need to share this planet. Rising sea levels in the next few hundred years will see man-made borders reclaimed by nature, which is a good point, a very good point. But it just goes to show, I mean, you know, there's something much bigger than we kind of understand.
Definitely.
Here. And it's been going on for so many years, and it's almost like we're 50 and we remember X, but all these things that some of these people are talking about, they went on hundreds and hundreds of years ago,
they
and
did,
the old Brits
yeah.
are being blamed for it. And you think, well, hang on a minute, they want us, they want me. But I just think that, look at this situation, I think, right, let's simplify it. Migrants, immigration, immigrants, refugees. Refugees are the ones that we should be talking about. The refugees are the ones that we should be helping, without question. Do you think 24,000 is enough?
I think, in perspective, probably for the size of the country, the amount of debt that our country's in, and the amount of cuts that are going to local councils and services that this country has got, is at the moment having a job to look after its own. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Somebody made a very valid point. I'm just going to flick to my own Facebook page here and just tell you, because I thought it was a really, really good point they made yesterday. So we asked the question, it's my belief that we should be helping refugees any way we can. So how do we help them? What should we do? Most countries' powers that be have no clue what to do. They are dilly-dallying whilst our fellow man suffers. All summer long, most countries have barriers in place and treating these people in a most inhumane way. The situation has gotten worse, with governments doing less to help. Only last week did our government actually say something positive. That was only after public pressure. That was after the picture, the awful picture that we saw. Joe Public has led the way. So what's the answer? And quite a few people have messaged. Lizzie says they need to sort the problem out in their own country so it's safe for them to return home. Now, you could take that one of two ways. Some people, and this is the sad thing, is I'm not annoyed by that at all. And I've kind of thought, well, okay, just let's simplify it. Just say, for instance, you get married, Josh. Okay?
Okay.
You get married, you have a couple of kids, and you've got a family going on. And all of a sudden, you and your wife fall out, and you have a big fight and an argument. Okay? And your wife needs somewhere to live, because you've beaten her black and blue, and you've got to, you know, so she's got to get out, or you've got to get out. Someone's got to give you a home. Are you going to turn people away? I mean, how would you feel if you were turned away?
So am I giving them the home we've got?
Well, either way, someone needs a home.
But personally, I would give them the home.
Okay, where are you going to go then?
I'd have to sort that out myself.
Well, that's what these people are doing, but in their hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's just simplifying the problem, the issue. But then what we could do is we could say, well, is it mendable? Can we come round your house, talk to you and your wife? You may have a few health issues. We may be able to help you. And this is where I'm coming. Does Britain now actually say, and not just Britain, there has to be a team of countries coming together and saying, right, okay, how can we go into Syria and help? Is it a problem that we can solve and just, you know, by sitting around a table and talking, or does it have to be more than that? And the other question is, should we?
I think we could help. Don't see why we couldn't.
But we, you know, again, do we know what the issues are? Do we know what the problems are?
I don't.
No, so
I don't. Do you?
No, it's.
Do you know what the issues
I'm
are?
I'm guessing it's a dictator that's in Syria that is causing all the
but
issues.
We don't know that.
We don't know for sure. There could be any number
all
of things.
All we've been told is that there's these hundreds of thousands of refugees, migrants, or whatever that are fleeing their country.
So
and we're just making guesses of why they're doing that.
If I was in that position and I was forced from my home or from my country, I would imagine 2 or 3 years down the line, if my country or my home was stable, I would want to return.
Yeah, it's home.
See, I think that's a fair comment. So what Liz is saying is you know, they need to sort out the problem in their own country to make it safe for them to return home. What she's saying is, yes, come over here, but in the meantime, we're going to... But can we do that? Will we do that? Is it logical?
I think, yes, it would be logical, but we don't need to go in with aircrafts bombing the moon, things like that, because none of us actually know why the masses and masses of people are leaving like they are in the last 12 months.
Okay.
Who's not been told that?
No.
It's an interesting... So we were trying to get Jeff Lumley to come in and maybe give us a call. Because obviously he's now correct me if I'm, if he's the leader of the Labour Party on the Isle of Wight. Is that right?
Right. Hang on.
Okay. And Jeff says that we should be doing more. He's going to lobby the government through the council this week, saying that we should be doing more. Yeah.
I'll just read from what the island's Labour Party and its Labour group leader, Councillor Jeff Lumley, are calling on the Isle of Wight Council to take urgent action to provide a haven for families fleeing war-torn Syria. Very commendable. A resolution will be put forward by the constituency secretary to the meeting of members in Newport on Wednesday, calling on the local authority to both urgently discuss offering asylum to a proportionate number of refugees and to investigate how they can be integrated into the Isle of Wight community. It also asks MP Andrew Turner to support this and press the UK government to take action to address the refugee crisis, both at source and in Europe.
Okay.
So basically Jeff's saying what we're saying.
But what I'm a bit sort of mystified by is the fact that Jeff is part of a party, the Labour Party, who have in the last 24 hours have said that what we should do is have a little vote in the House of Commons to see whether we should have airstrikes on Syria. How's that helpful?
But that isn't Jeff said that, is it?
No, but it's his party. It's what he stands for.
But Jeff isn't responsible for what his party says.
No, I know.
Says,
I know. That, all the more reason, Jeff, if you're listening, you ought to go independent. Because then you can have your own thoughts, because I'm guaranteeing that you probably didn't want to go to war in Iraq, because I know Mark Chiverton said it as well. He didn't agree with going to war in Iraq, and yet that's his party's idea. Mm. His party took us to war, and now his party is saying we should get together and have a little vote on whether we should carry out airstrikes on Syria. Were you part of a... If you were part of a party that were doing that, what would you do? You'd walk, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know, because most political parties, Ian, I mean, you perhaps don't agree with 100% of their policies. Maybe you agree with 70. And maybe 70 is the better than not agreeing with so many of another.
You're,
I don't know.
If you're a Labour, and I consider myself to be, a socialist, working class, never going to change, that's me, down to earth, working class, that's the one of the reasons why I have nothing at all to do with the Labour Party anymore, because of that. They took us to war when we didn't need to go. You know, are we saying that socialist is all about going to war? You know, because if that is the case, you're going to lose. You already have. They already have. They've lost the last two elections. So, you know.
But you can't say that, can you? Because Margaret Thatcher took us to war, didn't she, with Argentina? David Cameron, is considering going into Syria. So it's not...
Well, he's
just...
Yeah, but he's got one
party,
arm up his back, hasn't he?
But it's not just a specific party, is it?
No, I just find it a bit... This is why I'm trying to highlight the fact that all the parties are blending into one, and that's why I think maybe people ought to come away from their parties, because I just don't think they are what they stand for. You look at what says... The label on the tin says it does this, but it's not, because you've got half of them that are against this kind of thing and so on, and that's why maybe, an independent kind of politician might be a better one. Then they don't feel under pressure to do what the others are doing or not comment on. Keep quiet. How many times have you been to a council meeting and people have voted and people have abstained? Mm. And you think, hang on a
Quite
minute,
a few.
That infuriates me. You've abstained. We voted for you to have a word.
We did. We voted for you to put your hand up and have a vote.
And you
not
can't
an
even
abstention.
Be bothered to vote. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Maggie says, help these desperate people who are fleeing for their lives. I have donated to one of the charities. Being humane is not the answer, in my opinion. If I were in that position, I would hope that some kind souls would offer me and my family some food and clothing, if nothing else. Absolutely right.
Absolutely, yeah.
But do you ever, and I'm going to ask the question anyway, okay, do you now think that there are people out there that are looking at this and thinking, I could cash in on this?
Probably.
We could
probably cash in on this.
Yeah, there's people out there like
and that. I don't want people to stop giving if that is what they want to do, and hopefully the money, the clothing, the help gets through. But there will be, and I hope to God that there are people, if there are people out there that are that cynical, that they get named and shamed and something horrible happens to them. Philip says, we need to be helping the ones who are genuine refugees. The problem is not all of them are. Well, if they're a ref, this is the whole point of the language that we're using now. If they're not a refugee, this is the point we should hammer home, is every refugee should be helped.
Yeah.
Because they're a refugee. Yeah. If they're an immigrant or a migrant, it's a totally different story.
Because it's their choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
The migrants and the immigrants, it's their choice, whereas the refugees have absolutely no choice whatsoever.
Philip goes on to say there are a lot of other nationalities who are really just economic immigrants using fake Syrian passports, hence Cameron's policy of only taking them from camps on the border of Syria is sound. Someone actually agrees with David Cameron for a change.
So did I just made that point as well.
Julian says, and Julian is living in Thailand, we ought to point out at the moment. He's gone over there, looked for work, and he's working, so that makes
he's
him
he's a migrant.
He's a migrant, okay? So,
Julian the migrant.
If the asylum seeker's registered in their port of arrival in Europe, as they are supposed to do, so it's saying that there is a protocol in place, they ought to follow it. They could be supported throughout the system as refugees. Personally, I have no problem with supporting refugees, but economic migrants are a different thing. Asylum seekers or refugees can be supported when the situation within their country is stable. They could be repatriated. Economic migrants will never be repatriated, as they will be within Europe for what they can get. Why does the media call these people migrants? They're not all migrants. A lot of them are asylum seekers, and the difference should be understood. Stop the popular media from tarring them all with the same brush. Great point.
Yeah. And that's the whole point of the phone in.
That's what we're trying to make that point today, the difference between them. And I say, I think every time it comes back to every refugee should be helped.
Yeah.
You can't say 20,000. Oh, sorry, mate, you're 21,000. You know, we can't help you. We've helped too many. You can't do that, surely.
But every country should be making an effort to help them, not just the countries in Europe.
No. Yeah.
You know, that I read something, and I can't remember where I read it, saying why aren't neighbouring countries doing their bit to help?
Mm.
They're not, are they?
No.
You know, it's as though it's not happening.
That's a good point. What are the neighbouring countries to Syria? I mean, they are Iraq.
Oh, we're just Googling it.
Yeah, but I've seen the map very recently, but I think one of the neighbouring countries is Iraq. And you think, right, okay, are you going to ask Iraq for help?
Why shouldn't you? Iraq is a really rich country.
Yeah, but they've got their problems.
The same as Saudi Arabia is a really rich country. You know, most of it, Ian, boils down to money, doesn't it?
Those people that are against helping, do you think it comes down to, hey, it's not our problem, we got enough of our own problems, let's sort out our own before we do that?
I think people's perception over the last 5 or 6 years and the hard times that people have been through in this country, and things like bedroom tax, disability allowance, stuff being frozen, pay being frozen, the doctors and nurses, I think all of it has had a major impact on how people see our country.
Okay. So, there was somebody did shout a point yesterday, and it was a fascinating one, and I think it was a point that it was Yeah, kind of what you've just said. And it was... I can't find it on here, but they just made a really good point. What we'll do is take a quick commercial break in a mo, and I'll see if I can find the actual point, because I want to read it out word for word, because it was actually quite spot on, I think. But I mean, by talking about it, do you feel better? Do you still feel uncomfortable?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Do you? Why?
I'm not sure.
Because is it because, you know, you can... I mean, I don't think you would do this, put something out there controversial on Facebook, and all of a sudden you get shot down in flames. You know, you seem to me, you're 19 years old, you've got quite a wise head on your shoulders. And you feel... Is it because you feel uncomfortable because of one slight wrong word? And,
yeah,
and all of a sudden people are going to point the finger at you and say you're
The internet is dangerous.
It is dangerous. It is a dangerous thing.
And so, I mean, and the problem with not doing it face to face is so many people can misinterpret what I might be saying.
Exactly.
And we've been conditioned to think and act a certain way.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
We're not our own people, are we? I am. I try to be.
Yeah, I try to be.
But I still feel... Yeah, I feel uncomfortable.
Why do you feel... Do you feel uncomfortable for the same reasons?
I feel uncomfortable because... On the Isle of Wight, I know of an 85-year-old lady who has just had to cancel her white care button, which keeps her at home, keeps her living independently, because she can't afford the hike in prices that have just gone up for the Isle of Wight Council. And my personal opinion is, if we can't look after that lady, how on earth can we look after any Syrian refugees?
That's what I'm like. I'm like, we can't even help our own.
So, I see what you're saying, and I would imagine those people that are tight-lipped because of they're worried, the concern about what people might say about them, are tight-lipped for those kind of reasons. And I think it's kind of sad that we can't speak our mind without other people getting upset and calling them a racist and so on and so forth. I'm still of the opinion, my opinion is not going to change. If they're a refugee and there's 25,000 people and you say 20,000, sorry, we need 25. You need to up your game a bit. We need to find the space for. I hear what you're saying, and I think that's... But the question, and this is what the question that somebody asked yesterday, are they in danger? Are they in the dangers that these people are in Syria?
Well, this lady, there's every chance that she may fall, because she's prone to falling. There's every chance that she might die of natural causes and nobody would know, because she lives on her own. There's every chance that she could end up in hospital and cost our hospital money. There's every chance that she could end up in a nursing home, which she can't afford, so she would cost social services money. So for the rise that's gone up, there are huge implications, and I just think there's probably quite a few people that, through no fault of their own, through no fault of our local council, that aren't managing.
Okay.
And it's going to have wider implications.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. One thing you shouldn't do is feel awkward about speaking your mind. You know, it might not be what other people want to hear, but then sometimes I'm a great believer in, you know, other people will be thinking it, but other people will be brave enough to say it. And there'll be people out there that will be shooting you down in flames and saying, "Rah, you're wrong. Rah, they're in a war-torn country and this person is in a home or she's got some people that can look after or whatever." They'll find a way of having a go because it's totally different to their opinion.
But what they've missed is this 85-year-old lady has already been through a war. Why should she be treated like that?
Okay, interesting point and a good one too. We come back in 2 ticks. It's almost 20 to 1.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. This is Vectis Radio.
Self-publishing your own book is much easier than you think it is. About your own life, a local historical event, an interesting untold story about a relative, pure fantasy or fiction, or maybe an illustrated children's book. Talk to Cross Print Media for advice on self-publishing and how to get started. Call 52 4885 or email us on printmedia@crossprint.co.uk.
If you're one of those people that has to live life on a tight budget, you might want to take advantage of the £10 meal deal at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
£10 meal deal, I started probably about 2 years ago now, and we've managed to sustain the prices that you still get the full value of that, which is the chicken, the mince, the ham, the sausages, and that chicken will go for a family of four quite easily. You've still got the stock afterwards if you want to, and the bones to make a soup. Sausages obviously is a meal in itself, the ham is another evening meal.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, you'll find them on Dace Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Value Rent-A-Car, based in Sandown on the Isle of Wight. It's a secure online car hire booking service. We provide a low-cost, fully inclusive professional car hire and minibus hire service. We have cars available for rental from under £21 a day if booked and paid for in advance. We take no payments online. Our vehicle rentals are based on a full 24-hour period. Collect at 11 a.m, return by 11 a.m. the next day. Go to www.value-rentacar.co.uk or phone 01983 401 333. That's 01983 401 333.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Hi, I'm Maggie Curry, established freelance coach. My work impacts lives and is a catalyst for life-changing experiences. I work with clients to encourage them to step out of their comfort zone, rediscover passions and be themselves. Calm and in control of my own life, I have more than a decade's experience in coaching and will help you build the foundations for your future. Get in touch today to find out how my inspirational coaching can transform first you and then your life. Contact me via my website, www.maggiecurry.co.uk, or through the Vectis Radio website.
What era are your musical memories from? Maybe you love a bit of the 80s. Perhaps you grew up in the 70s. You may be a child of the 60s, of course. Or possibly the 50s.
2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Whenever your musical memories come from, there's sure to be plenty of them in the Retro Show. Join me, Kelvin Curry, for 3 hours of magical musical memories every Sunday from noon. The Retro Show, the perfect start to a Sunday afternoon, only on Vectis Radio.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666, or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Okay, welcome back to part two of today's Lunchtime Social Debate. We've got Jay on the line. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Ian.
How you doing?
Yeah, fine. Initially, first off, I think absolutely we have a moral obligation to help people, coming from these terrible situations. But there is a proviso as well in the simple mathematics. We're a certain size island with a certain size growing population, and we literally can't continue, indefinitely. Where do you stop? So I think there's the sort of argument or the debate that I'm seeing on the mainstream at the minute is basically a false dichotomy of let them all in, or, you know, pull up the drawbridge, put up the fences and don't let anybody in. And that, I don't think either of those opinions is any good for the long term. So I think what needs to happen, and I know that it's far more complicated than what I'm just about to say, but nevertheless it has to happen, is that stability needs brought back to these regions where the people are coming from in the very first place. And that's what we need to concentrate on, bringing stability into the regions where you know, if that means the wars have got to stop and all the rest of it, that's what's got to happen.
How do we do that, though, Jay? Because, you know, we're guessing, with what we've been told in the media, it's pretty tricky in Syria. So how do we do that?
Well, first of all, stop encouraging it. Iraq is still a mess. We all know about that, why we went in, or why we were told we went in, and blah, blah. And it's not to drag up history just for the sake of it, but it matters. It matters, you know. You destabilise these areas, a few years, the knock-on effect is this, you know. So stop engaging with it, first and foremost, and encouraging it. And we have to... There's a thing, if we can't put our hands up and say, yes, you know, we're culpable of a fair amount of the blowback here, then we're not going to get anywhere. Because, you know, how can you analyse a problem if you're not prepared to actually look at what the problem is? You're never going to solve it. So if we can get our heads around that, then we can start to, bring about stability.
Okay.
Let me turn that into what does that look like in practical terms. Now, yes, if we can stop the wars, I mean, that's a feat in itself. But hey, what are they about? So they're predominantly about resources. And as one of your commenters said, I heard you read the comment out earlier, and it was pretty much spot on. Resources and energy. So we, as a society, need to scale back on what we're using and therefore requiring from other regions of the world. So we need to do our bit, on that practical level. But, if people can make a note of this, I'm going to give you two documentaries, and they're really, really important, especially for the times we're in. One is called Green Gold by a fellow called John D. Liu. John D., just the initial, and then L-I-U. Watch that, and that is all about... bringing restabilization to regions. And there's another one called Greening the Desert, and that's by a fellow called Jeff Lawton. You can watch both of these documentaries online. I encourage everybody to do so, because what it does, it gives you an insight into what can be done in these regions apart from, you know, just extracting resources from them. Because it isn't just war, it's also climate change. These areas are having massive crop failures, water shortages. There's your next impulse for mass violence, is water wars. You know, and the two documentaries I've just given you, they have got demonstrable, meaning that they've actually been done huge scale projects on actually restoring regions and, bringing the rivers back and all that stuff, and actually giving the people that live in these areas a reasonable subsistence again, you know. Because when you deprive a geographical area of its of its ecology, that in itself causes mass migration.
Do you believe, though, that all of what you've just said is the reason why we've got thousands and thousands of refugees floating around the world now? Do you really think that is a... the way I'm seeing it is it's a little bit more, messier, nastier in Syria than the picture you may have painted.
It's a mixture of all of those things. You've got the industrialised West, scrabbling for the resources, and B, yes, you most certainly got climate change factors playing a part. You know, when you have huge swathes, I mean, I'm talking, hundreds of thousands of hectare size of lands, when the crops go down because they're, you know, they're 6 or 7 degrees higher temperatures of a region. That's a big hit for a country. It's a massive hit, and it matters, you know. And when you have areas where their rivers and stuff are drying up, of course it matters, you know. So it's all part of it. But we can help to maybe if not mitigate, we can certainly, you know, push back towards it with something reasonable and logical. And as far as our own populations and residents in our own country being mistreated by the government, for instance, the lady that Ali mentioned having her white button taken away. Sorry, was that the right term? White button, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an internal policy made by, you know, our governments, and of course I absolutely disagree with it. But I don't think we should conflate the issue of why should our population go without and help other people at the same time. You know, we've got more than enough resources and capability to do both, but only on a sort of short term basis with carrying on taking people in, because physically we'll get to a point where we just can't do it. So we need to do something more at the root level, at the causation, rather than trying to treat the symptoms, if you see what I'm saying.
Okay, I kind of do. I just think that it's probably much more nastier than we actually realise.
In what context do you mean nastier?
I think the problems that they've got in Syria is probably a little bit more than a water shortage or water wars or anything like that. I think it's far worse than that.
Oh no! That's why I made the point. Highlighting it first and foremost, it's the wars. It's the military stuff that's going on. That doesn't help anything. I mean, you can't. You imagine being a country besieged by war. You can't get any decent project or sort of lateral thinking off the ground.
Sure.
Because all you're trying to do is survive and get by. And when you're in that frame of mind, that sort of survival mode, you're not dealing with anything else. You know, I agree with you. Yes, it's far more complicated and convoluted, but it's all part of a big mix, you know, because climate stress on certain countries will push populations into other areas, and that in itself can cause military conflict as well. And there's also the more selfish attitude of countries already foreseeing this and reclaiming other people's resources before it gets to the point where they run short, you know.
Just one more question, because we've got to get back to I've got a couple of emails and messages to read out. But do you think that the governments around the world have done enough? And more importantly, do you think they know what the answer to this big problem is? And, you know, if they do know, why aren't they doing it?
Of course they haven't done enough. Interesting when you focused earlier on language. I mean, what is it exactly do we mean now by government? Corporate representatives? You know, as far as doing a civic duty for the well-being of a population, I don't think hardly any governments around the world are doing their bit. Do they know about large-scale solutions? Yes, they do, because they have. As much as I've just chastised them for being in the hands of in the pockets of corporations, they still have access to the best scientists and, you know, geologists, ecologists and all over the world, and we know fine well about the things that can be done. If me as a layman can just point you to the direction of two, you know, very good reasonable documentaries that have case studied these things, then we'd be a bit naive to think that the top bananas don't know what's going on.
Now look, I want to leave you on the line, if that's okay, because we're just about to say something, and I'm first of all going to make the point again. I think that, you know, refugees ought to be helped. We now know the difference between refugees and immigrants and migrants, okay? So, you know, message to all media, you know, use it in the correct text. Don't mislead people, because you're part of the problem.
I would go one further. In this case, and bearing in mind this situation, global situation, is going to get worse if we don't address it, I think that's still too divisory, to be honest, Ian. I think we should just refer to ourselves as human beings.
Okay, let me just say this as well, because this is where, you know, Josh was saying earlier on that he feels uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable. Mm. Ali feels uncomfortable. Mm. And with what we're just about to say, mm. I'm kind of, you know, you don't know whether to say it or not, because you might be shot down in flames, because there is an element of, in the back, because I'm a suspicious so-and-so me, I'm looking at the refugees and I'm thinking, you've got to help them. No question, you've got to help them. But in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, hey, hang on a minute. What was before all of this, it all blew up? It was about people coming into our country, and other countries too, and joining forces with terrorists and so on and so forth. And you're just looking at this now and thinking, with a, you know, a slight suspicion, thinking, is this a way of getting more terrorists in the country? I'm hoping, you know, I don't believe that to be correct.
It's a hell of a way. But... it's some size of a project.
But I don't believe that to be correct, but yeah. We'd be naive to rule it out completely, wouldn't we? Read out the message that you've just received, Ali.
There's a thing appeared on Sky News Channel, and some lady has stood up, Jay, and said there was mentioned in February, ISIS said they would flood Europe with fighters, and no one took any notice. But now in September... there are thousands of young men flooding from Syria into Europe.
Mm. Well, I mean, first of all, what basis? It's pure conjecture, Ali. Yes, it's hypothetical and could well, you know, manifest, but it's pure and utter conjecture. You know, it's not just young men fleeing from Syria. You know, that was the whole point about seeing that little lad.
Absolutely.
You know, there's women there. I've just been seeing pictures of people in wheelchairs.
The trouble is, Jay, that the point I'm trying
the
to make...
The potential's there.
There'll be a lot of people that'll be thinking that will be fearing... they'll be fearful of saying it because of the way they'd be looked at. But we would be absolutely naive to ever rule that out. So I'm a great believer. We've got to take these refugees, no matter how many we've got to take them. End of. Sure. But we've got to be alert. We've got to be absolutely. And we're taking refugees. We're not taking terrorists.
Well, again, though, you know, it's a seed in your mind. That seed today has come from Sky News.
No, Jay, it hasn't been there. Now, I've been thinking this for a while. If I'm really honest, there's just in the back of your mind, in the very back of your mind, there is that little bit of a suspicion. Let's not be too massively naive here. Mm.
And Jay, in 3 days' time, it's the 14th anniversary of the blowing up of the Twin Towers.
That's a good point.
So now,
you've got the potential there for anyone to act in extreme violence.
But not in the numbers that there are there at the moment, Jay.
At any given time. But how many numbers do you need to wrought extreme devastation, Ali? You don't need that many.
No, I know you don't, but...
But the potential is there for them to do that damage.
Within a whole cross-section of... I mean, what are we going to say in a minute? I mean, I'm taking it a little bit out of the realms, but at the same time, it's still on the same lines. You could say that, you know, the Black Triangle people, the people that support the disabled from having the cuts in there, that they get so annoyed that they start acting extreme.
Yeah, what we don't want to do is just get... I mean, they're just the seeds of thought that I've heard other people say.
Sure.
They're fearful of saying it.
Sure.
What I am saying is, so that everybody understands, and I think we're all clear on this, refugees need to be helped. End of story. We just need to be extra vigilant, because there will be opportunists.
Well, you never know, dear, but I think we're better off to address these things, as I was saying, at their root, at their cause, rather than having people...
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
They don't want to leave their countries any more than a lot of people here don't want them here. I'm sure they'd be far happier to stay where they are.
Too right. Jay, thanks very much for being there.
Cheers.
And thank you, Ali. And thank you. You don't feel so uncomfortable now?
A little bit still.
Glad it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you on that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there.